Yes, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If anyone there loves peace, your peace will rest on that person. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for this insight into your purposes and your plan for your people. We pray that your word may speak afresh to us now and help us to apply those truths to our situation here in Down End and Staple Hill, Bromley Heath, wherever we are, Lord. Open our hearts to your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, just a few fewer than we have here, 72 people he gathered around him. And he started off by doing some vision building. He wanted them to get God's vision for the world, one what it could be. And he says in verse 2, "The harvest is plentiful." In another translation, it says, "The harvest fields are white for harvest." Is it possible? Oh, Jeff, you're reading my mind. Fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. You can follow it, because I'm sticking to the text fairly closely this morning in this passage. In other words, now is the time. The time is right. It's ready for harvest. Then the potential is huge. He is showing them where the there is. Okay? He's wanting to move them from here to there, as Bill Hybels put it. And the there is this amazing harvest. People being gathered into God's place of welcome. Coming home to God, as Angie mentioned, it put it, felt as if I was coming home. That's what God longs for people. And experiencing his overwhelming love. So Jesus gives them a vision of how things really are. It may not look like it to them, but actually that's how it is. Jesus then describes the reality of the now, the here. And he says, the workers are few. This is the case. How are we therefore going to get from here to there? Well, he gives them three things that they can move forward into doing. The first thing he says, and the number one priority for anyone, is prayer. Pray the Lord of the harvest, he says. And that word is more than just sort of please, Lord. It can be translated plead, almost beg, intercede with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Cry out to God so that he knows that you long for this. This is your passion. You've caught something of God's passion. Lord, you keep the fires burning. That's the prayer of our hearts when we look at our world, that we might have a passion to see it as God wants to make it, and a passion to send out workers into the harvest fields. He suggests or says to the disciples, Pray the Lord of the harvest. He calls God the Lord of the harvest. In other words, he's wanting them to understand that the one that they're praying for really is in charge of this work. It's his work, and you can be confident in him, in his timing, in his patience, in his power. Pray for sent workers. People have a sense of being sent. Women, men, old, young, teenagers, those who have an inner sense that they're called by God and sent by God and are sharing God's work that he has for them. And then Jesus reminds them, oh, by the way, it's you. You are the answer to that prayer so far. Go, he says, therefore you go. And I'm sending you out. And you can expect a really tough time. I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. Now, lambs among wolves don't usually come off very well. So know this. This is really sacrificial work that you're engaged in. Therefore, you can't rely on yourselves. And he reinforces that point again by saying, don't carry a purse, bag, or sandals. So get relying on God. Don't get distracted talking about people on the way, but just keep focused on this, because this is the priority I am giving you. But you can only do it with God's strength. He makes it so difficult to rely on their own strength that they have to rely on him. Isn't that typical of Jesus? So that's the plan. What about us here and now in Christ Church? Well, let's look at those three signposts from the story in Luke chapter 10. They all begin with P. You'll be pleased to know if you're taking notes. The first priority, as I said, is prayer. Our prayer is that we might seek to see Downend, the parish and the place we work or the road we live in, through God's eyes. Through God's eyes. That's the prayer. That we might get his vision. A vision where we can see each person we meet by the school gate or have lunch with or chat to over a pint as unconditionally loved by God. Every person who's our friend on Facebook, we speak to or do the stuff on your phone in a way that as if you're speaking to the Lord with utter respect and truthfulness. As we see the people on that vox pop, my heart was being really touched by some of those people who, when Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he said, if only you could see the things that made for peace. Lovely, lovely people. If only they could get that connection with God. But who's going to help them to do it? Jesus has called us, frail people, incompetent at it and inadequate. It's us. We're the lambs among the wolves. We have to grasp this vision of Jesus seeing us as his sent workers, not just as Christians who are thankful for all that God has done, who come to church and praise the Lord and do our best to live the life well. God has a much greater and fuller calling for all of us. And he is prepared to trust every one of us to continue this mission today. Have you ever been trusted with something that is incredibly precious, and you've made a right mess of things? Well, when I was 18, my dad was going through his middle age sort of time, and he had a couple of sports cars, and an MG BGT and a Triumph Spitfire. And I just passed my test, and he insured the Triumph Spitfire for me to drive. It was open topped, it was convertible, and it was absolutely screaming when you put the throttle down. I loved it. I took my friend, out for a spin. And we ended up on Conway Golf Course and drove the car over the course, round the fairways because it was open road. I wasn't very naughty in my youth, but that was one of the naughtiest things I ever did. And we hit this bunker, and it just smacked down onto the exhaust, and the exhaust flew off. Oh, no. And the noise it made then was really great. It was like, oh. But I managed to drive back, and I was living in North Wales, about 4 miles back to the home, and thinking, oh, no. My dad's car, I wrecked it. And got home and told him what had happened. And I'll never forget, he just put his arm around me and said, okay, Charles, get it fixed. It's okay. And he could see how terribly, terribly upset I was about it, that he forgave me. He'd entrusted me with his pride and joy. I'd made a mess of it, but he forgave me. And that's what Jesus has done with the mission that he has died for. He's given us this precious thing. And he says, you go with it, you drive it. I'm going to be with you, and I will forgive you when you get it wrong, because you will get it wrong, and you will find it hard because you're like lambs among wolves. But do not fear. Be bold, be strong. The Lord your God is with you, says God to Joshua, and he says that to us. So we go knowing that God has placed us where we are, where we spend our time each day, where we will be this time tomorrow. We are indeed full-time Christian workers for the Lord. And the vision that the Spirit has been growing in us at Christ Church is that we might do that wherever we are, on our front lines. You remember the teaching we went through in the spring. We need to be praying, asking the Lord of the harvest to bring us alive to that truth. Firstly, therefore, prayer. The other two are much shorter. Secondly, partnership. Our partnership, first of all, is with Christ. Apart from me, you can do nothing, John 15. And the disciples and we need to know that we cannot be reliant on our own resources or competence or the evangelism courses that we've been on, though they might help, but really reliant on Christ's provision and Christ's protection to face whatever may represent the wolves that we face, the enemy attack that can be spiritual in a very subtle yet destructive way. And that is why it's so vital to pray as we do in morning prayer each Monday morning, the prayer of St. Patrick. I bind unto myself this day the strong name of the Trinity. I bind unto myself this day. I take on that protection of the Father, Son, and Spirit. We do it with Christ, but also we do it with others, our own trusted friends. He, remember, sent out his disciples in twos, and maybe they grouped together in different ways. They knew they were not on their own. And last week we thought about the way in which God calls us to travel together in following Christ as disciples, building one another up, learning from one another, encouraging and inspiring each other by sharing the things that have happened or in stressful or rather mundane lives. Home groups, discipleship tryouts, prayer partnerships. If you haven't yet had a leaflet about that or seen it on the website, please do pick one up today. There are all sorts of opportunities to pray blessing on people that we know, that they might know Christ and that we might be able to relate in an appropriate way to them. And then thirdly, not only do we pray in relation to people in the world, we go in partnership with Christ and with others, but the message that we take is that of peace. This was what the sent workers of Jesus were to offer. Go to a house and say to that house, peace be upon you. Can we just see that on the screen, Jeff? Verse 5. Peace be upon you. peace to this house. The word that they would have used, of course, is shalom. And on our weekend away, Charles Hipsley was helping us to see what it meant to be makers of shalom. It refers to healed relationships with God, with ourselves, with others, and our environment. For Christ, says St. Paul, made peace through his blood shed on the cross. It is that grace and love like mighty rivers that flow incessant from above that bring heaven's peace and perfect justice in a kiss. Isn't that a wonderful image? God kissing the world. Can't get more intimate than that. What a contrast. You know, I believe in God. I have been kissed by God. We are sent, therefore, to be bearers of shalom where we are. And integral to that will not only be the what we say, but what we do. And in verse 8, you can see in a minute that when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, that is, receive hospitality, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Therefore, prayer for healing is integral to being makers of shalom. And it's wonderful to see lives being touched through God's power in the healing ministry here in Christ Church. A small group of people have offered time to being trained to be even more reliant on the Holy Spirit and able to respond sensitively to the needs of people who bring their selves before God each week. The good news is, though, that God has confidence in all his people to be part of that healing ministry, not just the ministry team, but for all of us. So maybe just pray for one another, and we'll be doing a little bit of that in a moment. Gosh. We can have confidence in God in what we're doing. And then to conclude, we've thought about sowing seeds of truth, learning to let God sow them in us, to grow in us the realization that he really does believe in us and he trusts us with his mission, unbelievable as it seems. And what is more, Christ has so much confidence in us that he entrusts us with taking forward the big vision, not only to see people come to know him as Saviour and Lord, but also to restore the world to a right relationship with God and the whole of creation. The kingdom of God, says Hans Küng, is creation healed. But we're not called to do this on our own. We go with Christ, and we do it in partnership with others. So the difficult question that we need to ask as we take this honest look at the life of Christ Church today is, if this calling is so central to the purposes of God for his people here, are there things that we are doing currently as a church that need pruning so that it releases the space for prayer, for intercessory prayer, and for growing in our understanding of appropriate ways of how to share that gospel with others? I don't know what those pruning things may look like, but we've got to make room for this, because this is what bears the fruit. This is the fruit that God is looking for in his kingdom, is people finding faith, people coming alive so they don't just know about God, but they know the joy of Jesus in their lives. Celebrating the joy and the hope that they found in him, and becoming themselves so on fire that they will pray with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength for their friends to know Jesus Christ and become makers of shalom in the world. Can I invite you to stand? Because I want us to pray together, and we're going to sing of the God who in Jesus becomes the hope of the nations. And let us, as we do so, and this week, commit ourselves afresh, asking the Lord of the harvest to bring that harvest home. Lord, we thank you that you are the God whose life permeates the whole of creation. We thank you that in Christ you have brought us a message of hope for humanity, And we pray, Lord, that we might be people who with joy and thankfulness accept your call to be bearers of shalom in the world. And we have confidence in you because you have confidence in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.